Nikki Henry, are you there? Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. Nikki Henry, welcome to this week's edition of It Could Be You. Nikki, I've already announced your name, but I did want you to have the pleasure of giving information about how to contact Women Against the Registry, or WAR.
Okay, and I'd be happy to do that. Women Against the Registry we advocate for the families of registrants. We have a website, and that's called Women Against the Registry, of course.
Uh-huh.
We have an email, contact@womenagainstregistry.com.
Uh-huh.
We also man a support line, and that is 800-773-4319.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. And WAR, Women Against the Registry, does have affiliates in pretty well all the states. Is that correct?
We have affiliates in a number of the states. We have members in all of the states.
Uh-huh. Vicki, how about some information about membership in Women Against the Registry, volunteering?
Well, to address your question about membership, we do have various levels of membership.
Uh-huh.
Where we have monthly supporters ranging from $2 or $5 a month to $100 a month.
Uh-huh.
And then monthly sustainers at $10 up to $100. We have annual memberships that are $25 all the way up to the platinum level, which is $100.
Okay.
When someone joins us, they have the opportunity to go to mark some of the things that they would like to help us with.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, you know, helping us take calls on the support line, educating
uh-huh.
the public, research, grant writing, administrative assistant, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
WAR has both 501c3 and 501c4
uh-huh.
status. We've recently formed WAR. We call it WARF, W-A-R-F-S, and that's the Women Against the Registry Family Foundation.
Okay.
And we do gratefully accept tax-deductible donations 24 hours a day, and you can just log on to our website or go to our WARF Facebook page, make any size donation, and you can even designate where you'd like it to be used. Well, WAR does have a small focus group that is currently reviewing the various child sex abuse prevention programs
uh-huh.
and evaluating those to see where we think that we would fit in, and then hopefully partner with them
mm-hmm.
because we do believe that that's the answer.
How, if at all, how does Women Against the Registry differ from some of these RSOL groups?
Well, the difference RSOL and SOSIN, which is a web-based online group, Cross and Collect, USA Fair, and,
uh-huh.
and other organizations, that
uh-huh.
we're totally about the registered family and the collateral damage that they experience. And WAR was organized after a workshop presentation at the 2011 RSOL conference, where there were a number of women that openly said they thought it was time for their wives, moms, girlfriends, grandmothers, etc.
uh-huh.
to make their voices heard.
Uh-huh.
And sadly, you know, I don't say this very often, but one of the registrants even said, society doesn't care about the registrant and how they're affected, but, you know, women's voices need to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think there's a clear difference between WAR and other like-minded advocacy
uh-huh.
groups based on our focus. And at the time that we were organized,
mm-hmm.
Brenda Jones of RSOL was a participant in establishing our mission, vision, goals, and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And that can be found on the second page of our website. And you know, you can see under We Believe in lines 1 and 2 where it talks about
uh-huh.
Children, all children have the right to grow up safe from harm
uh-huh.
and be allowed healing and things like that. And Also, it says communities have the right to laws and policies which actually work to achieve these goals.
Okay.
So we, the registrant families, want to make known the different scenarios that our families experience. And so we want to get our voices out there in different venues. And the RSOL folks work with the legislators to try to come up with some laws that can maybe you know, allow our registrants to live a more fruitful, productive life.
Talk a little bit about what was going on in Florida.
Okay, well, and let me back up just a little bit and talk about the fact that Derek Logue, Once Fallen, did bring this idea to WAR, and, you know, we talked about it and decided to go forward with it and under the anti-registry movement banner, which we did have a banner made up. And then we kind of, we realized after and discouraged by others in the state of Florida that we would have to reach out to the local folks on our own. So we did a local mail out and got a lot of positive response from folks to let them know. And they said, well, we didn't know that there was anybody out there fighting for us. And so that gave them some hope. We had a documentary crew that was with us the night before, the morning of, and then all during the conference. I mean, it was actually the rally on Cali,
right,
which was at the conclusion of the Lauren Book Walk. We had reached out to the Lauren Book, to Lauren and our executive director, and wanted to try to meet with them when they were going to be arriving in Tallahassee, you know, just before they finished up the walk. And we were ignored. I did talk with her executive director, and she said that she would talk to Lauren about it, and then we were just totally ignored. We did talk about, in the development of this rally on Tally, we did talk about the idea, and we're going to go forward with it, of our registrant children who were there offering an olive branch, walking out and offering an olive branch to Lauren Book to say we appreciate, you know, the work that you're doing to try to educate people and, you know, prevent child sexual abuse. Well, that was part of our intended action.
I know that WAR kept, as you said, there was a documentary film crew there. And I know that you sent out, WAR sent out some photographs, some stills that were taken there. And what caught my attention, and I mentioned this to you when I met you in Dallas, that there was one that caught my attention, and I think it basically just said it all. And it was, I think you know the picture I'm talking about, the one of a little boy, you can't see his face, but definitely he's hanging his head down in what I'm going to say was shame. And tell everybody what was on that placard that he was carrying.
Well, the child that's on the picture was came with his mother, and his name is Sebastian, and they had made, he and his other two siblings had made this green poster, and it said, "The laws that you intended to protect me made my family and I homeless."
Wow.
And that's the absolute truth. They were saying, the mom and the kids were staying with a friend, and the dad, by Florida, you know, statutes or laws, had to sleep down the street in his truck, you know, at night, and that kind of thing. So that, and that banner will, or that poster will be going with me to the legislative summit. We are planning to go to the Zach Anderson hearing, which will be August 5th, next month, and in talking with Lester, the dad. They are expecting us there. They know we're going to be there with banners. They hope to have the courtroom full. And he is sending me a Zach Anderson shirt that they have on their website, and you can see in some of their interviews.
I've read some things about the Zach Anderson case, and if I'm getting the details wrong, please correct me. Zach Anderson had consensual sex with someone that he met at like an online dating or online pickup service. And the girl said that she was of legal age when in fact she was not. And he was arrested. He had a real bright future ahead of him, but he was arrested. And even the girl basically didn't want anything bad to happen to him. And yet, with the way the sex offender laws, with the way things are set up, it seems like the entire weight of legal judicial mountains just suddenly fell on Zach Anderson.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, the girl turned out to be 14 years of age. And what I found totally something that should be have attention paid to it was that the mom and the victim said that they didn't want Zach to be, you know, adjudicated, and they even had to get therapy, counseling, because of all of this happening. And to me, that speaks volumes. You know, they acknowledge that she falsified her age and things like that, and that is so common. And the difference in the Florida event and like the Michigan thing with Zach and that kind of thing is that, you know, Florida takes such pride in being the scorched earth state. And our families just are being annihilated. So that's, you know, but the in the other states, you know, I mean, there are states that are, you know, have like Arizona, a lot of people in Maricopa County are on lifetime probation and things like that. But we are looking at some other states to do some peaceful protests. And, you know, we can't share any of that right now, but yes, we will be at the Zach Anderson event.
I also see that you're going to be at an upcoming, as you sent me these notes, an upcoming legislative summit in Seattle. Now, is that specifically going to be for dealing with the Washington State Legislature, or is this something else?
No, this is the National Conference of State Legislatures that they held this event for the last, I think, 40 years. And it's attended by legislators from all over the country and their staff. And they have an agenda and different topics they talk about. War will be, will have an exhibit in their exhibit hall, and we will have the opportunity when legislators and their staff come through, we have an opportunity to talk to them. This will be our third year to be there. And yes, and give them materials and talk to them. And one of the main things that we heard more of last year when we showed them, this is what you're doing to our family. See this case, see this thing, you know, whatever. Then one of the things that they asked is, well, what do you recommend? What do you suggest?
Things seem to have fallen a little bit more in line on another aspect. And by that, I'm talking about you're just not there, say, to provide information, to provide recommendations to the lawmakers. But war, as you told me, has really gotten to the point where a challenge, a legal challenge, is going on, and war is right in the middle. What's going on? How's war involved with these lawsuits?
Well, I think anybody that's been in this movement for more than 2 weeks knows that legislators tend to hang their hats on being tough on crime, and especially sexual crime. So our class action lawsuits are designed to take that issue out of the legislators' hands and put it in the judges' hands and let them rule on law.
Now, before you go any further, you said class action.
Yes.
Okay.
We have We have one class action lawsuit that we're going to file on behalf of registrants. The other class action lawsuit will be filed on behalf of the registrants' friends and families. These lawsuits will be filed at the federal level, and we are in the process of gathering submissions. People can go to our website and click on class action lawsuits and then either fill out a submission form as a registrant or a family or friend, and we're going to use all of those. We have tons of case law, and there, of course, there's new case law coming out all the time. You can look at different things that have been coming out over probably the last 6 months or so that talks about, you know, things being unconstitutional, things being punitive, and you know, the time is right. So it is punitive, and we are going to challenge this. There is a process to be followed. We're very well aware of that. If I had to say, you know, what I thought the craziest thing would be is the residency restriction. Because you know, it's like to quote Hillary, what difference does it make if somebody lives 1,000 foot from a school versus 1,010 foot from a school? You know, what we need, and this is what we advocate for, is child sexual abuse training prevention program.
We could
actually incarcerate all of the people that you mentioned a while ago, 843,000 people, and take them and incarcerate them, and that would not stop the sexual abuse that goes on. We need to get in front of it, not behind it. Somebody said to me not too long ago, we teach our kids, you know, like, this is your eyes, this is your ears, this is your arms, you know, and then we go past the no-fly zone.
Yeah, this is your area.
We just brush over that. And, you know, we need to stop, and we need to, sometimes it's uncomfortable, but we need to stop and do that. And these training programs can accomplish that. And also, I heard an academic say one time that, you know, until parents start opening up that dialogue, which is uncomfortable for a lot of people, and talking to their kids, then some of this is not going to change. That's what it's going to take.
Well, is this, say, one step? Is this, say, one thing that, again, as you see it, is this going to be one thing that it will really take, really force lawmakers, state lawmakers, federal lawmakers, and so on, to more thoroughly, to more realistically look at current sex offender laws and the registry, to really finally come to the conclusion that there's a need for honest, for real reform? Do you see that?
Yes, and unfortunately, we've had a lot of public situations that have brought this issue, you know, to the forefront.
Right.
And so, unfortunately, like I said, for other people, but it gives us the opportunity to talk about these things and to keep them in, you know, people's minds. And, yes, the legislators are going to have to address this. And I realize that the current concept is not working.
Well,
and to point out, you know, the recidivism has not changed because of all the laws, because of all the restrictions. It had already started dropping. And then we've gone back and we've put registrants from the 1980s. We propped them up and put them on a public registry ex facto, and now, you know, they had reintegrated, they had a family, whatever, and now they've lost their job, they've lost their family, they've lost their house. How productive is that? Well, I think basically three things are going to have to happen. One thing is that, you know, our registrant families need to get mad enough to stand up and say, we're not going to take this anymore. Uh-huh. You know, we're gonna start pushing back. And probably more prominent people getting caught up in it. Uh-huh. And, you know, registrants are so vulnerable because once you've been adjudicated for something, somebody can come along and accuse you of anything, and you are presumed guilty.
Oh, that's right. That is so correct.
I mean, even though you're forced to take a plea deal. I can't even tell you how many people have been forced to take a plea deal for something that they didn't do. Look at Brian Banks. He did.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And, well, you've also got the, I think this is a hurdle that has to be overcome, that you still have so many people out there who just kind of go through life just assuming that nothing bad like that, nothing bad, anything remotely like that is ever going to happen to them.
Well, to speak to that, and I have to laugh because I will without a doubt say that in the past 6-7 years, uh-huh. I have met, unfortunately in this scenario, I have met some of the best people of all sorts of all walks of life that I would not have met in any other scenario. People that are just awesome, and they have a loved one or they themselves were caught up in this. And yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, a lot of us thought mm-hmm. before the day that we were, as I call, baptized in the fire.
Right.
They thought, oh yeah, you know, sex offenders are horrible, whatever. When you get down and you start looking at it and you read the stories of, I have one sitting right here of a kid that attempted suicide, cut his wrist in the bone, took all kinds of meds, and luckily his mom found him. Mm-hmm. And it was a young situation.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, now, reforming the laws themselves, getting, whether it's going to be through a federal class action lawsuit or whatever other methods it takes to really bring about positive, substantial reform, is war, say, supporting what other reform groups, other criminal justice reform groups are doing?
War has actually gone to different conferences, one of which is the Prisoner's Family Conference, uh-huh. Which went international this year. And, you know, we affiliate with them. They know that we're out there, we're fighting for our families and that kind of thing. So we affiliated with Christian ministries, uh-huh. That kind of thing. And we do affiliate with people and other people, and we do believe, you know, I'm just really astounded by some of the justice people that that don't really want to entertain the restorative justice aspect when it comes to registrants. And, you know, while they support, you know, other scenarios, I'm just puzzled by that.
Right.
So we do believe that intervention and counseling mm-hmm. works. And real quickly, one of the advocates who's also, you know, a state leader for RSOL sent a thing a long time ago, and I still use it, where a girl came up and said to her, what would happen if, you know, something was said, and I'm just paraphrasing, what would happen if someone said something about inappropriate touching? And this lady said, well, then they would be incarcerated and that individual would not go through that again,
wow.
not have to deal with that anymore. Mm-hmm. And the child said, oh, okay, and walked away.
Oh, me. Well, Vicki, I hate to kind of cut you off, but like I said, we're just about out of time, but the door is open for you, for Women Against the Registry, to be back on. It could be you in the very near future.
Thank okay? you. We will be. Thank
Vicki
you.
Vicki Henry, many, many thanks for being part of this week's program.